Here we are. We're back. It's been, what, 2 weeks or something like that, Eric?
Yeah, we had to miss one.
Feels good to be back, though. Welcome back.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
My name is Zach Elvira. As always, I'm joined by Eric Newman. Let me switch us before Chris Eaton gets mad. This is the Take It Easy Sports Show, part of the, I guess, Hypermark Media family. Is that the right way to put it, you think? Good?
I mean, you're the content guy.
You're right. I am. I'm the head of content.
So however you want to say
it's whatever I decide. That's very true. Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Thank you to everyone who's jumping in here right away. Kind of the same type of show as the last couple times we've gone on Thursdays. We're going to review last week. We're going to look at the new rankings, both AIA and Hypermark's rankings. And that's for tackle football and flag football. And we're going to check in on some scores from tonight because it's Thursday and there's been a lot of games happening on Thursday as of late, including tonight. We have some pretty big ones, actually, Eric. We had why am I only on one thing here? Desert Mountain facing Cactus Shadows. We had Thunderbird facing off against Yuma Catholic, probably the biggest matchup of the night, in all honesty. So yeah, we'll wait for some of the scores to roll in. There's some already rolling in from some blowout wins for some teams. I'm looking at the scores right now, and these are crazy. These are like basketball scores for some of them. But anyway, man, it's been like 2 weeks since you and I have met up via video chat. How have you been doing?
I've been good. Big stuff happening. You know, we're getting into region play for a lot of sports. We're more than halfway through the football season. Flag football is going to have rankings in a couple weeks. Volleyball's in region play. It's a fun time right now, but it's busy.
It really is. You know, we had some additions to the Hypermark team. We had, you know, obviously we have you as part of just like the co-host of the podcast aspect. You don't really do any writing, obviously. I don't want to get you in trouble with the Arizona Daily Sun.
I don't have time for more writing. I do.
That's very true. We have Jacob Saliga, who's become our lead writer. He's done a very good job. He does a lot of ASU coverage, and he'll probably help us out with some basketball once the high school football season ends. For right now, we are not letting him, you know, get that conflict of interest because he is coaching at Desert Edge, so we're not going to let him do any of that stuff. We obviously have Rebecca Daly doing a great job with volleyball, who, by the way, now heads the Athletes Unlimited partnership that we have with them, that pro volleyball organization that plays out there. I shouldn't say out there. I should say out here at, what is it now? Arizona Athletic Grounds. It used to be Legacy Sports Complex. I should know this. It's literally right down the street from my house. And we have Mason Byers, who's been doing a great job of flag football. We're going to show off his latest rankings tonight. And the latest addition is Mr. Adam Beadle, who comes to us as a multimedia, I guess, sort of person. He does a podcast. He does the weekend preview with Adam Beadle for here on Hypermark. He's also going to be doing some writing for us as well. He does some video content. Speaking of video content, we also added Hayden Coyle, who does a really good job with highlight videos and some photo stuff and all that too. So we're growing slowly but surely here with Hypermark, which is really
cool. I don't even know if it's that slowly.
It's not. It's actually a lot faster than I think Rixer and I even wanted it to be. So be it. But with that, I want to put this up because Adam put this up, and I don't know why. See, this is the good thing about me is I learn from the people that I work with, right? I don't understand, or I don't understand how I just didn't do this beforehand. But look at that. A little ticker at the bottom.
Look at that.
I knew it was there. I always knew it was there. But now we have the rankings, which that kind of gives you a preview of cool. What everyone watching can expect to see, you know, in just a few minutes when we go over the new rankings for Hypermark. So, so pretty cool, pretty big things happening. It's actually really funny because I've had two others approach me directly to do some sort of writing for Hypermark, and then I've also had, Rixer has had some pretty, I would say, some big names in the high school space approach us for like shows. And I think we didn't say no, but we are pumping the brakes a little bit because we're like, wait a minute, it's going to be too much to manage at this point. So, but that's just a foreshadowing of what is to come.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, one day. Probably very soon, let's be honest. So things are going well. And I think the best part about this is we're not like in a competition with anybody. I think that goes to show with the statewide media rankings that we have. Mm-hmm. We have, honestly, we have people who like, I never assumed they were like competition, but like my old job, they were technically competition. Like I've got like Richard Obert, Logan Stanley, you know, Ralph Amson pitches in, Cody Cameron pitches in. Like obviously those are just, I mean, we've been a group for a long time now, but you know, we've got other media organizations kind of jumping on board to help us out. And when I say help us out, I mean help us out tremendously with these statewide rankings. You know, we've got like All Sports Tucson, for example. We have some anonymous voters who are from some pretty big organizations. I just can't say who. It's a good thing. We've got a good thing going here, and it's really awesome. I think it helps when you have, you know, people that get along with everybody for the most part. Yeah. So obviously, we don't get along with each other.
Oh, yeah.
You get along with other people. That doesn't, yeah, well, we're fine.
So you mentioned the competition thing, and yeah. I think that's worth saying is, you know, obviously there is a little bit of competition, not a ton, but in the workspace, but I think it's friendly, and I think it is something where everybody can have space to do good work.
Yeah. Right.
And it doesn't have to be negative. You can want to do a good job for your audience or whatever, but it's cool to see a lot of people getting together and doing it.
The thing is, like, the only people that I think see it as a competition are the people who aren't in it for the right reasons. Now, granted, let's be honest. You're in it for a paycheck. I'm in it for a paycheck. Everyone that does this job covering high school sports, like, at the end of the day, yes, they get paid. Like, that's the most important thing we all have to provide for our families, right?
Yeah.
But we're also in it to, and I think this is, I guess going in, you don't really think about this as much. But once you've been in it for a while, you realize the impact that you're making. Yeah. Like, covering college and covering pro stuff, like, you've done it, I've done it. It's cool. It's fun. Oops, my bad. I just dropped my pen. It's cool. It's fun. Like, it's a good time. Like, it's cool to, you know, say, hey, look, I'm covering this professional sports, you know, game or whatever. It's cool to go to the Fiesta Bowl and cover the college football playoff. It's cool for you, for example, to go and cover the Super Bowl. Like, the Final Four for both of us. Like, things like that are really cool and they're fun to do. And it's, you know, it's a great way to kind of show how far we've come in our careers doing this. But, and this is the one thing I tell my students all the time, there is nothing like covering a high school football game. There is nothing like covering a high school basketball game, a high school volleyball game, a high school, I don't even care if it's a golf match, a badminton match. Like, the kids genuinely enjoy the coverage. The coaches genuinely love that you're covering their kids. The parents, I know newspapers are going out of style, but the parents love to see that. They love to open that newspaper and they love to see the kids on the front or whatever it might be. Those are the things that we do this for at this point. We do it for the kids. You know, we have college coaches that now follow us on Twitter or wherever it is, and we retweet highlights. Like, does that get them recruited? I would never say that I'm the reason someone got recruited because I reposted a highlight. No. But does it help them get more eyes on them? Absolutely. So that's the reason we do. We do it for the kids. And the people who aren't in it for the kids and are only in it for likes and clicks and views on YouTube and endorsement deals and all that stuff, like, cool. You're able to make a lot of money. But, like, at the end of the day, like, people can kind of see right through that.
People can tell.
Yeah. So, long story short, that's why I think we've been able to be so successful so far this year with Hype and Mark, because we don't see anybody as a competition. We see that we're just kind of entering the space and people made room for us, and we're happy about it. Now, it helps, obviously, that, you know, you and I already have platforms, so it helps with that. And what I mean by platform is obviously this show, right? So that helped us a lot. All we did was pretty much just slap a new logo on there.
Yep.
read a few, you know, sponsor reads and all that stuff, and we're good to go. So that helps out a lot. But enough talking from myself anyway.
Isn't that what the whole point of the show is?
Kind of, but not a lot for me. I didn't even really expect to go on a tangent that long, to be honest.
All good.
But like, it is something that I'm passionate about. It's cool. It's fun to do this. That's why I can't actually step away fully from it, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of Nautical Bowls, tasty. I told you guys like 2 weeks ago I had one before. At Nautical Bowls, we blend healthy, fresh superfood bowls with an uplifting atmosphere to fuel your life full of energy. I still got to fix that sponsoring. Nautical Bowls, a lot of locations, established 2018. I know I love acai bowls. Eric, I think you said you love acai bowls.
I do.
I've tried Nautical Bowls. They are very, very good. I really recommend everyone go try those and tell them that the guys at Hypermark sent you. Will they know who you're talking about? No, but if we tell them enough, they will start to remember.
Yeah.
That's all you got to say. All right, Eric, what do you say? Let's hold off on the what did we learn segment. Actually, no, we need to go over that first. What did we learn segment. This is a thing that, you know, we've kind of just created randomly. I think I just asked you one time and I was like, that was kind of cool. Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah.
It's where we pick a few games. In this case, we have four different matchups from last week's action for Arizona high school football. I'm going to put up a banner that says, what did we learn? I'm going to put up two teams and the score of that game. And then Eric and I are going to talk about what we learned from those two teams. And I think, Eric, the biggest one and the overall the best game last week, what did we learn from Red Mountain's 28-12 win over Highland? Was it 28-12 or 28-11? I just realized, I think I got that wrong.
Either way,
Red Mountain won.
We learned that Red Mountain, you know, we thought that they were an open team.
Right.
But this is a team that is looking like it could win a game, maybe make an open semi, maybe challenge for a real, you know, a crown or something like that. This is a great team.
This is a Red Mountain team, and I'm going to type something up. Sorry. I'm just doing this to make sure that it's plastered everywhere here. In the state. Cool. All right. So what did I learn from Red Mountain's win? Red Mountain is a top three team in the state.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw it out there. Screenshot it all you want. I don't care. I will show you my bracket or my rankings that I did for the Hypermark rankings. Red Mountain is a top three team in the state. Kyle Enders won the Cardinals Coach of the Week honors for this win. It was a very close game. I think it was 11 points scored by Highland, if I'm not mistaken. But either way, it doesn't really matter. This Red Mountain team is legit. Their defense is legit. Simon Lopez has been outstanding for them. Bodie Wagner is an absolute monster. I always give Cody a hard time for saying that everybody is one of the best players in the state of Arizona, but he really is one of the best players in the state of Arizona. Cody's going to rail me for that one. Red Mountain, a top three team in the state right now, and I don't think it's very close. Granted, they do have to play ALA Queen Creek this week. Maybe it's next week. Either way, I think
Red Mountain has to play. Either way,
ALA Queen Creek is coming up. They still have to play Queen Creek. They play, is that it? They're 6-0. They play someone else. Either way, it doesn't matter. Red Mountain's a top three team in the state. Red Mountain is going to be favorite, I think, to win the rest of the games, potentially go undefeated. And then we're talking about a Red Mountain team that, depending on how the AIA rankings, you know, fall into place, could very well be maybe number two or number even one, depending on how the computer looks at those wins for them.
Yeah, if they do go, if they end up being 10-0, I wouldn't be surprised if they get the number one seed.
I would not be surprised either. Well, I believe that they're number one seed. I still think Liberty, until they're dethroned by an Arizona team, is number one.
I think
right now Basha is a clear number two, especially the showing that they had out in California against a top 10 team in the country, Mission Viejo, almost winning that game. A lot of people are putting Basha actually ahead of Liberty. And I think, like I said, until Liberty is knocked off by an in-state opponent, they have to be the top dog. But Red Mountain is right there. I really, truly believe that Red Mountain is right there with those teams, just behind them. just barely behind him. So
I'm with you. I'm with you there. I think I would have the same top three.
A lot of people.
Liberty was so dominant last year, and obviously it's not the same team, but they still haven't lost to an Arizona team.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. What did we learn, Eric? I'm kind of baiting you with this one. ALA Queen Creek 17, Mountain Point 0. A fun stat before we start talking about this one. I believe Mountain Point was held to about 41 yards of total offense.
What did you learn about this one before I go?
I wonder if I'm going to get in trouble for this or people are going to hate me. I learned that if it's not broken, don't fix it. I knew that the whole time, but if it's not broken, don't fix it. And by that, I mean Mountain Point, do not switch your quarterback week six of the season just because someone becomes eligible when your previous quarterback has gotten you to a pretty good record so far. That's what I learned.
Yeah.
Because clearly, I don't know. I don't think it's a talent issue. And obviously, everyone knows that we're talking about Butter Tollefson at this point. I don't think it's a talent issue. I truly believe it could be a chemistry issue. Or ALA Queen Creek's defense is just that good. One of the two.
That's the thing.
Could be that.
I don't know if we even learned that much. I just think ALA Queen Creek is a very good team.
Yeah.
And we learned that Mountain Point isn't an open squad, which we probably knew anyway. I think
we definitely knew the Mountain Point was an open division. Yes. 6A championship potentially if they can figure it out. But I mean, even that with this performance, I just keep looking at the score 17-0, 41 yards of total offense. They took a major step back.
Yeah, I mean, not a good performance, but ALA Queen Creek has been doing this to a lot of people.
That's true. I just didn't expect 41 yards.
No, that's pretty crazy.
41 yards is insane. I mean, you're talking about a team that, I mean, Mountain Point's offensive line is pretty good, but they just couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
It seems like. Like, you're telling me that you've got, you know, the running back stable that they have back there still, and they couldn't get more than 41 yards on the ground even? I think they were like, I think they only passed for like 11 yards total.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the type of stat line that I expect from like ALA Queen Creek versus like Mountain Point in 2020 when they didn't win a game until Desert Vista.
Yeah, you rarely see a game like that. The thing is, 17 points against ALA Queen Creek, holding them to that is pretty good because that's a good offense.
Well, and that goes to show that Mountain Point's defense is probably pretty legit, but like offensively, like,
and that's holding them to that despite those yards issues. Like,
true.
That's giving the ball over a lot and everything. So,
and I don't think the defense was ever a question for Mountain Point. I think it was always the offense.
Yeah.
When it came to this topic specifically and this team in general. Now, again, they've shown flashes of being really, really good. Like, I can quickly pull up, as long as Max Fripps doesn't blow my eardrums out. Like, it probably will. Robert Norris thrown for 732 yards, 5 touchdowns, not a whole lot, 2 interceptions. Obviously, the rating isn't going to be that great, but look at the weapons he's got. He's got Chase Shumate, Ryan Dillard Allen comes in on offense here and there. Like, this is a team that's pretty loaded on paper.
Yeah.
And 41 yards, like, I don't expect that. I don't expect that at all. But, I mean, You've got a power 4 offensive tackle on the left side with Aaron Thomas. You've got other guys across the board, Jaden Berrios being one of them, who I think could very easily be Division 1, especially like, you know, the FCS level. And 41 yards?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And again, maybe ALA Queen Creek is just that good. And I've said it from the very beginning that ALA Queen Creek is sharpied into the open for me. So maybe they are just that good. But if they're that good, then ALA Queen Creek might be a top 3 team as well, holding Mountain Point to 0 to 41 yards. Holding any team to 41 yards is insane.
Yeah, agreed.
So, next one. What did we learn? Basha 35, Brophy 32.
I think we mentioned,
contrary to popular belief, that, you know, it was Brophy that won this game. NFL.
I think, as we mentioned before, Bash is clearly the number 2 team, for some the number 1, but they're clearly a top 2 team.
Yep.
and that Brophy's right there as an open squad, but Bash is awesome.
Yeah.
Bash is a great team. And I think that's what we learned there. I think that we learned that Brophy is for real as an open contender.
I was just going to say that.
But that Bash is still is that number two.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. We learned that Basha, of course, is number two team. They're still very, very, very good. I don't care how much talent they lost. Brody Vares is an animal at quarterback. He's very good. But we also learned that Brophy's legit, like you said. And Brophy is a bona fide, for sure, in my opinion, open division football team this year. What's crazy, though, like if you look at looking at the standings real quick for this, for that 6A, you know, just the 6A conference in general. I mean, you've got a Brophy team that's 5-1. You've got Highland obviously at 5-1. I mean, that whole East Valley region, who knows what's going to happen with that. You got Queen Creek at 5-1, Red Mountain 6-0, LA Queen Creek 6-0, Highland 5-1, Mesa Mountain View is 5-1 right now. Like some of these teams that are like maybe 1-2 lost teams are going to be left out of the open division, and they are going to be the Highland of the past like 3 years.
Yeah.
It could be Highland. That could be Highland this year. I mean, they still have
be Highland.
They still have to play Williamsfield, LA, Queen Creek, and Desert Ridge. Like that's not a light schedule by any means. It was 28-11, by the way. I just saw it. So I messed that one up.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think Brophy's legit. I really do. I think Brophy's going to run away with that region title. The only competition is Mountain Point, but if Mountain Point's getting held to 41 yards, then how much of competition is that really going to be?
Right.
Sorry to say it. And I say that as someone who loves those kids over at Mountain Point. I covered them religiously for my previous job. Like religiously, I covered them. I'm still going to be covering them for the Tukey Bowl. Like, that I plan to do stories for them, like, and in Desert Vista, of course, too. I love those Desert Vista kids too, but like, gotta figure it out. But Brophy's legit. Brophy's very good. What did we learn? This one's for our friend Jacob Saliga. Desert Edge 40, Millennium 13.
I think we learned that Desert Edge is a top two or three team in 5A. You know, maybe Notre Dame Prep is up there. It would be lower if I don't count Marana as a 5A contender anymore, because I think they're an open squad. And so with those 5A playoffs, you know, the committee seems to believe that they have an open team in Higley too. So I guess we'll see. But I think we learned that Desert Edge is a solid group.
I think that's the thing we have to do too, is what you said. Moran is an open team. We have to put an asterisk next to that, because realistically, do we want to see Moran in the open division? Personally, no.
I'd rather see them in the 5A playoffs, but I think if they win out, they're going to be in the open.
Yes. And of course people are going to say, they're going to hear us say that and then be like, well, then why even have the open division anymore? Kind of a good argument. If it's only six teams, kind of a good argument. But the thing with the 6A conference, especially how it is now, like the open division pulls those teams out, so that way there is some variety of some sort in the 6A conference, right?
Yeah.
And if you take the open away, then you're going to just see the same eight teams every single year in the quarterfinals. So, and like maybe that's what people want. And I get that. There's definitely not enough teams, I don't think, top heavy enough to do a 7A conference. I wish there were, but I think we'd be in the same boat. It would just be taking the same eight teams that we're seeing every single year and putting them in the open division. So
yeah.
We'll see. I don't know. But yeah, and we'll get to the AIA rankings. That's going to be a fun conversation.
Yes, it will.
All right. So that's our What Did We Learn segment. We will do our Looking Ahead segment here in just a little bit. Let's pivot really quick to flag football. Mason Byers, our flag football reporter, aka just our staff writer. I'm kind of switching it up. I'm not going to limit them to what they do. he came out with his flag football rankings. This is one thing that Mason is 100% in charge of, is the flag football rankings. As flag football starts to grow, then maybe we will, you know, pivot to doing a statewide media poll like we do now with tackle football. But here are Mason's latest rankings for flag football. Mountain View, the at one point number one team in the country. I don't know if they still are or not. Number one, of course, kind of the same deal. Until they're dethroned, the Toros are going to be number one. And however, could very well be the most talented team in the state. Now, granted, I said this 2 weeks ago. Talent versus overall, I guess, knowledge and chemistry. And I'm not saying Hamilton doesn't have that stuff, but that's what Mountain View does have, which is why Mountain View is able to win a lot of close games so far.
Yeah.
Hamilton really hasn't been challenged. And maybe that just goes to show how good that team is talent-wise. Samaya Taylor-Jenkins, phenomenal. Probably the best football player, a flag football player in the state. Although I will say Miss Roebuck down there at Marana might have an argument for that. So
no kidding. That's a football family. Yeah,
literally. Marley Phillips, however, is quickly turning into one of the best quarterbacks in the state, especially because she's only a freshman. So by the time she's a senior, she probably will be the best one. Speaking of, Marana, 5-0, right there. Highland, great season, 4-1. Red Mountain, Castile, Basha, Higley, Millennium, Mountain Ridge. That rounds out your top 10 for the 6A conference. 5A, still on top. Canyon View at 5-1. Mountain Point at 5-0. Campo Verde, the defending 5A champs. They've stumbled a little bit, but their schedule has been very difficult, 3-3. Arizona College Prep, 4-2. North, Verado, Buena, Casa Grande, Nogales, and Willow Canyon. And the first ever 4A conference. Obviously, this is new this year. Eastmark still on top. Eastmark's two losses are two 6A programs, if I'm not mistaken, including Mountain View. Mesquite, Prescott, Scottsdale Christian, Heritage Academy, Levine, St. Mary's, Chrisman, Page, Westview, and Mojave. Round of the top 10. So those are Mason Byers flag football rankings for, what is it, week three? It doesn't say. I thought I put that on there. It's like week two, week three, whatever it is. They play so many games, it's kind of hard to balance the weeks.
Yeah, no kidding. So. Yeah, they play more than once a week, so it's hard to, you know, necessarily know exactly.
That is very true. Next Level Mobile IV. For athletes striving to maximize their performance, Next Level Mobile IV therapy offers the most effective method to deliver essential vitamins, minerals, and select medications directly into the bloodstream. This approach ensures optimal absorption, allowing for rapid replenishment, and enhancing key nutrients crucial for peak athletic performance. Next Level Mobile IV, they've got Tucson, they've got Tempe, they've got Flagstaff, if I'm not mistaken. They've got locations everywhere. So if you're an athlete or someone who just wants some vitamins, Next Level Mobile IV is your solution. Tell them the guys at Hypermark sent you, especially if you're down in Tucson, because our friend Kyle Morgan will be there. Maybe not there, but at least owns it. So there's that.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, let's get to the point, or let's get to the conversation right here, shall we? I put out and you guys gave me so much crap for this. I put out a tweet that said, oh, yep, happy overreaction day, blah, 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 blah. And then here I was with my jaw on the floor when the AIA rankings dropped. And we're not going to look at 6A, 5A, 4A, any of that stuff. You guys can go look at the AZ Preps ones, whatever. We're talking specifically about the AIA Open Division rankings. This is what it looked like. And I know the screenshot, let me remove the ticker really quick. There you go. This is what they came out with. And before anyone jumps in the comments and asks, blah, 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 like, you know, how is this even possible? Who makes this? Da, da, da. It's a formula that nobody knows how to do it by a computer that apparently runs itself, runs all the formulas, runs all the strength of schedule. They include the multiplier, all that stuff, right? And I think people were going back and forth on whether the multiplier was actually put into effect with this go around.
Yeah.
I want to say that it is put into effect no matter what, starting with the first rankings, which to your point with Marana, if this, and I'm circling the Marana number one ranking, if this is with the multiplier, yeah, Marana is an open division football team.
Yeah.
Because if they went out, there's no reason for them to drop out of the open eight.
So, yes, I don't think they would be the number one seed because their strength of schedule will go down. But if they go undefeated, they'll be in this bracket. And I would honestly not be surprised if they're a top five or six.
They could be top four.
Yeah. The thing is that each game that goes on, the strength of schedule matters a little bit more because the other teams will have played more good teams and they won't have played as many of those open and top 6A level squads. And not to say that the teams are not, they're playing aren't good, but 10 games with maybe two 6A caliber or open caliber teams is different than, you know, the 8 or 9 that a lot of these other teams will have played.
But I would still like to know what the computer sees with Miranda right now that is better than
a defeated team.
Well, yeah, but even then, though, like if we're taking strength of schedule into account, like they do count out of state games, they do help with PowerPoints. Look at Liberty. Liberty beat Hamilton, or not Hamilton, I'm sorry. Liberty beat Chandler. I was thinking about last year. Liberty beat Chandler. Liberty has beaten, who else have they beaten? They've beaten other teams pretty bad. Desert Edge.
Yeah.
Not pretty bad, but Desert Edge they've beaten. I guess maybe the strength of schedule isn't as good as I'm thinking it is. Now that I'm kind of going over it again. We have Cronus and Temple on there.
There's six games to have had that great, or five for Liberty to have had that big of strength of schedule. That's the thing, is they're going to have even better games, and it's going to work itself out a little bit more.
I'm almost wondering, So I was wondering, I was thinking about Bash's schedule, because Mission Viejo is obviously Bash's one loss. That helps the Bears quite a bit, right? Because that's a top 10 team in the country. Millard South, the team from Nebraska, coached by Ty Wisdom. Bash had played them early in the season. Millard South right now is 6-1.
Yeah.
So the more that team wins, the more it's going to help Bash. Which is probably why at 5-1 you have Basha ahead of teams like Red Mountain at 6-0, like LA Queen Creek at 6-0, like Brophy at 5-1, like Liberty at 4-1. And maybe it is the lack of a game for Liberty. Obviously, everyone else will catch up with a bye week, but still, if this is the multiplier, unless Miranda loses on purpose, they're in the open division.
Yeah,
because I don't think there's a team on that schedule.
I think they could go 9-1 and still make it because they've beaten South Point and Higley.
That is very possible. I can tell you right now that the Desert Mountain Wolves, they've got Horizon, ALA, Gilbert, Higley, Notre Dame. So that might take care of itself a little bit, but they look really good right now. Although they did take double overtime for them to keep their undefeated record tonight, which we'll go over the scores here in just a minute.
So this
caused a lot of, for me, this was surprising. I did not expect to see three 5A teams, let alone one atop the open division rankings.
That's the thing is, we thought maybe there was a chance to have some of them in there, but to be the top three seeds like that is a little bit surprising.
Insane. I did not think that was going to happen. Obviously, you guys can see the rankings right here. This is the AIA rankings. Of course, these are the only ones that technically matter because it's done by the computer and the AIA takes these for the playoffs. But now I want to compare it to what we came up with Hypermark. As a statewide media, I think we had at least 15 to 16 voters this week. And I don't make people do it every single time just because like things happen. But here's what Hypermark came up with our media rankings. Probably a little bit closer to what people actually think is the true rankings.
Yeah.
Liberty, 159 points as voted on by the media. Basha, 145 points. The only reason that Liberty doesn't have, flat out unanimous is because Basha was ranked number one in a couple polls. Red Mountain, as we mentioned, I already said it. Red Mountain is a top three team in the state right now. The media reflected that. 112 votes for Red Mountain to go in front of LA Queen Creek, who is at 101. Brophy was above here. Hamilton was actually at number five, I believe. But I think LA Queen Creek, the shutting Mountain Point down to 41 points, I think helped the Patriots jump up a little bit. Brophy number 5 after the loss to Basha Hamilton off last week. They do drop, unfortunately, to number 6 despite being 5-0. Highland goes to number 7 after the loss, and to Red Mountain and Marana, obviously 6-0. Marana Tigers are still in there, number 8, which I think is a little bit closer to what people think based on like strength of schedule and the competition they're going to see and all that kind of stuff. I mean, realistically, should a 5A team be ahead of 6A programs? Unless it's Saguaro back in like 2019 or 2020, probably not. So yeah, and that's something that's not taking away anything from Marana. That's a very good football team. But this is probably a little bit more along the lines of what everyone wants to see.
Agreed.
Chandler Perry also receiving some votes for the open division. 6A, the only thing I'm going to really go over, because obviously everything's going to be the exact same, is Perry's number 8, Chandler's number 9, South Point Catholic is number 10, Mountain View Pinnacle also received votes from the media for the 6A conference. 5A, obviously Marana's going to be on top, number 1, 148 votes. It was not unanimous. We actually had Desert Edge with a first place vote. We actually had Desert Mountain with a first place vote. And granted, these records don't reflect tonight, obviously, so don't pay
attention. Was Desert Edge an anonymous voter?
It was not. It was Cody Cameron. Cody Cameron said Desert Edge was number 1, 5A. And I think the reason for that is because quarterback became eligible. Blake, I don't remember his last name. And then Breon Ballard. The transfer from Central became eligible. He is very good. I don't blame Cody for
being high on him. I guess it just depends what we expect, what we want these rankings to be, because 3-3 is not the best team in 5A. If this is the potential rankings, maybe, but they've played six games and they've won 3 of them and lost 3 of them.
Right. So I hear you. For what it's worth, I put Desert Edge at number, I think, 6 or 7 in my rankings. So there's that.
I think they're going to contend for a 5A championship.
Yep, I agree.
And at the end of the year, they could be that. But right now, they're not the number 1 team in 5A.
Right, exactly. Higley, number 2. Horizon, number 3. Desert Mountain, 4. Desert Mountain might move up now because of the way they won tonight. Notre Dame, number 5. Big matchup between Horizon and Notre Dame. We'll get to that one more in our looking ahead segment. Cactus Shadows, 5-1. What a surprise that team has been. That team has been
awesome.
Yeah, they've been very fun. That is a team that I have circled. I need to try to go see this season for sure. Just played Desert Mountain tonight. Desert Edge and Ailey Gilbert tied at 7th. McClintock having a great season, number 9. I think the main reason McClintock's not higher is because of strength of schedule. And then Raymond S. Callis with Verado, Cactus, Buena, and Casa Grande receiving some votes. The 4A conference. Big news obviously came out where 4A is no longer part of the open division. Or else, honestly, Eric, I think we would have seen Micah Mountain or Thunderbird up there. Or Snowflake, for that matter. I think it would have been Snowflake. I think we would have seen Snowflake in the open. Because Snowflake is number 1 according to the AI rankings. So. But in these ones, Micah Mountain, 5-0, 146 points, basically unanimous. ACP, 140, Thunderbird, 128, Snowflake, Yuma Catholic, Arcadia, Prescott, Northwest Christian, Deer Valley, Vista Grande round out the top 10, with Combs, Walden Grove, and Canyon Del Oro getting some respect from the media, the statewide media. 3A rankings, as everyone can see right here, Thatcher still on top, Ailey West Foothills, that is a very close race. Basically half and half, almost half and half. Ben Franklin, obviously a big surge for them. Florence, the number 1 team in 3A according to the AIA. They come in at number 4 with the media. And again, the reason why I really like made a big deal about this is because these are the people who actually have watched the games. The computers don't see the games. The computers see scores and they see records, right? These are the people who vote in this poll right here from Eastern Arizona, Northern Arizona, all around the Valley, Tucson, Southern Arizona. That's who we have voting in this poll right here. And that's why it is unlike any other, because this is truly a compile all the rankings from all the media members that are involved and put out a system. It's like the AP poll. It really is. It's the AP poll for high school football here in Arizona.
Yeah.
And which is why I think we put so much emphasis on it.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. It's not just Valley. It's everybody.
Everybody.
And I think that that matters, like, because some of these teams, like, you look at Thatcher and, you know, Florence is close to the Valley, but not really quite there. But, you know, especially when you get to 3A, 2A, and, you know, some 4A teams even, it's not just Valley and Tucson teams.
Right, exactly. So, yeah, that's why I think this is really cool. Now, granted, will these rankings really matter, for especially for the 3A conference in 2 weeks? No, because the AIA is going to have their own rankings, and I respect that.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, I wish there was a human element for sure. 2A, Santan Charter. This has been the biggest flip flop every single week. I feel like Santan Charter and Santa Cruz flip in this ranking.
Yeah.
Pima, Tonopah tied at third. Actually, nope, that shouldn't be the case. I think I just forgot to change it. Oopsies. Whatever. Pima's number 3, Tonopah Valley number 4. I wish I caught that. Arizona Lutheran 5, Phoenix Christian 6, as you guys can see. And here's the 1A conference. I honestly don't even think this is a competition anymore. I think Hayden is by far the best team in 1A, and we should just give them the championship right now.
They're awesome.
Him the trophy. Just give them the trophy. Baghdad, bona fide second place. Mogollon right there. But Hayden has literally beaten Baghdad and Mogollon this year, and I think St. David as well. So, I mean, there you go. If you're beating the top 4 teams, like, you're fine. I think you're going to win that one. So, yeah. But those are the the Hypermark statewide media rankings. Week 8, obviously, for small schools. Isn't it crazy, Eric, that in 2 weeks from now, we're going to be watching some 1A playoff football?
Crazy.
Where's the time gone?
I don't know.
It's October 10th. It's insane. Very cool. Very cool, though. So, obviously, thank you to all those people who do contribute to that. It wouldn't be possible without you guys. And obviously, Eric, you're one of those as well. So I really do appreciate you. Looking ahead, Eric, we got some big games on tap. Let's pivot. Scores from tonight. Let's look at we'll start 2A level. Many Farms and Gray Hills Academy, 12-6. The Lobos of Many Farms get that win. 3A conference. Not all the scores have come in. Mojave, what a turnaround for that team after what they went through early in the season. 24-14 over Wickenburg. Winslow got the 40-36 win over Chinle. Still waiting on Santan, Foothills, and Coolidge, as well as Sabino Thatcher. Those scores have not come in quite yet. 4A, Gila Ridge, your Hawks.
You mentioned Mojave. And obviously they had some issues earlier in the season with, you know, with some sickness and everything. I think that's a team that, end of the year, is going to be a really, really good squad. Yep. Last year, they were the number one team for a long time in the season, and they brought back a lot of the same guys. If they can get healthy and have enough players, I think they've got a chance to contend for 3A.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with you. Gila Ridge, Eric, your Hawks. You love the Gila Ridge Hawks.
Go Hawks.
29-14 over Cibola. That was a battle of Yuma teams. Verado 62 over Marco Sneeze 7. And speaking of Yuma, my goodness, Yuma Catholic 45-14 over Thunderbird. I'm just gonna throw this up here really quick. Yuma Catholic 45-14 over Thunderbird.
Yeah, those rankings are gonna have to change a little bit.
These rankings are changing a lot of it, honestly.
Yeah.
Wow, the Shamrocks made the long trip up the Thunderbird and just absolutely, what do the kids say nowadays? They brought the belt. I know that's not really what they say. I know that's a different saying. I just don't want to say it here, but they brought the belt. Yeah. Yuma Catholic brought the belts with them. And apparently Sir Stokes was doing his thing. So
yeah,
hopefully they didn't bring the belt in the handshake line. I hate that. That's so stupid.
That's really annoying.
It's so obnoxious. I can't stand that. Yuma Catholic definitely brought the belts with them to Phoenix. 5A scores. No 6A games, by the way. But 5A scores. Obviously, Gila Ridge Cibola, that's a 4A, 5A kind of cross-conference kind of deal. Raymond S. Kellis, the number 10 team in our poll. 61-0 over North Canyon. Obviously, Verado, we already went over. That's, again, a 4-5A kind of crossover. Paradise Valley 35-28 over Westview, and the game of the night, Eric. Desert Mountain 35, Cactus Shadows 28. double overtime.
That's awesome.
That's a very good football game to watch.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about Cactus Shadows is real. And
they are.
Desert Mountain pulled one out.
Donovan Dixon is incredible. I've seen some film on him, and he's fun to watch, man. He's so much fun to watch. But this Desert Mountain team, they continue to even exceed my expectations. I still have them kind of low in my 5A rankings. I got to move them up. I got to move them up at this point. Desert Mountain's doing really well this year. I see why someone gave them a first-place vote in our Hypermark rankings, or at least
that makes sense. They actually are undefeated.
I'm sorry, they didn't get a first place. They got a second place vote. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Marana was basically unanimous, I think.
Yeah.
Except for like one, but either way. Like I said, no 6A scores for tonight, but there are plenty of great 6A games tomorrow, including Hamilton Basha, which is our first game for our looking ahead segment. Honestly, Eric, I don't know whether having a week off before this game is a good thing if you're Hamilton.
Well, I don't know.
Because Bash is kind of just still rolling.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't know. I really don't know what to think about this one.
It's a rest over rust type thing, right?
Right. I don't know what the point differential is going to be exactly, but I do think Bash gets to win tomorrow.
I could see it.
Yeah. I think that's going to be – that is the premier game of the night for sure, which is why I wanted to bring it up first. Big time open division implications right now. Hamilton's not even in the open division for the AIA. So that's huge. Hamilton wins and they're going to be in. So
yeah, no doubt.
They lose, then the computers might keep them out, or they're going to look at that loss as a really good loss and move them up to like number three somehow. I don't know. I don't understand the formula. more 6A action. Another big one. Pinnacle at Liberty. I'll be 100% honest. If there's a team in the regular season to knock off Liberty, it would be Pinnacle, in my opinion.
They've got a chance. It's a small chance. It's the the Jim Carrey and Dumb and Dumber chance.
So you're saying there's a chance?
So no, you're saying
would I expect it? No. But
yeah. Yeah. Pinnacle right now is the last line of defense for Liberty to have a loss this year. I don't think South Point is there. Saguaro's definitely not there. Chaparral's definitely not there. And I still don't really know how to gauge the Centennial team because it looks like they struggle even with their transfers against Saguaro. So
yeah, I don't think they're ready to beat Liberty either way.
Now, who knows? Maybe November 8th, you and I, or November 7th when we do our show, we're going to be talking about, okay, maybe Centennial's going to win tomorrow. But as of right now, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Last line of defense, Wyatt Horton. I'm not rooting for it to happen. I'm just saying Wyatt Horton. If there's a quarterback in the state, it would be Wyatt Horton to do it. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes. 5A action, ALA Gilbert and Higley. It's kind of, I don't know why this matchup intrigues me so much. I feel like Higley is the better team. Maybe it's just because like these two programs have just been on the rise for a few years now. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's two good 5A teams with a lot of talent and some history of doing really well in playoffs and everything in the last few years. I mean, it's two years ago, ALA Gilbert won the 4A title two seasons ago, right? Yeah.
Two seasons ago,
and, you know, Higley's won the last two 5A championships. Mm-hmm. So these are two talented teams. They're pretty close, both being in Gilbert.
Right.
So, I mean, it is intriguing, and they're both, you know, outside of that, two just good quality teams.
Yeah. I think Higley, again, is the better team. I think Tavion Suing has kind of gotten back to doing what he does best, and that's catch the football and make plays. So I think Higley is turning in. I think Higley, and I know it's kind of hard to say because obviously Marana beat them, I still think that Higley might be potentially the best team in 5A right now. I do think it's Marana, but potentially down the line, I think it could be Higley. Like if Higley and Marana played again, I think I would take Higley. I'm not gonna lie.
I think so too.
But I mean, that doesn't, again, not taking anything away from Miranda. That's a fantastic team, and Desmond Roebuck is outstanding. So yeah. Another big one. This time, instead of Gilbert rivals, we go to Scottsdale. Horizon at Notre Dame Prep. I had the Horizon team. I filled in for Cody Cameron, actually, on the Friday night wrap-up show. It was very fun. Very good. It was a good time. I actually had some of the Horizon players. I had Jace Ashley, quarterback. I had Jackson Murray, defensive tackle. I had Markovich. I learned it's Itch. The tight end, talented tight end for them. And then I had Jordan Partridge. Sorry. I was thinking about his brother, Skyler. Skyler played on the championship team for Horizon. He was a quarterback. But Jordan Partridge, wide receiver for Horizon. They all joined me in studio. So that was a good time to kind of talk to them and kind of see how they were coming off of, you know, going into a bye week and kind of what they did and how they were feeling and all that stuff. And they're ready to, I mean, I think Jax even said it himself that they're ready to go in there and kick some butt. Yeah. So I gave him bulletin board material that is Notre Dame Prep. So it'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be cool to see that game. Obviously, the biggest thing is, can they shut down Cooper Perry? Which has not happened a lot.
It's easy to say, not easy.
And the only team to do that is probably Brophy at this point. So
Yeah.
That is the looking ahead segment. Eric, where are you going to be Friday?
I will be at Cromer Stadium at Coconino High School, seeing them take on Lee Williams. It's going to be a really good one. Lee Williams is not the same team it was last year when they were when they were the region winner in the Grand Canyon region. They're 1-5, but there's a lot of pride on that team. And Coconino, that was the one region game Coconino lost last year. And so they want revenge in that one. And so I will be there. Nice. Flagstaff is on a bye.
Okay, gotcha. Honestly, I haven't fully decided yet where I'm going to go. It's either Hamilton Basha or Perry plays Castile.
That's going to, either way is a good call.
Well, see, my thing is I was trying not to see two of the same teams like twice in the season, which means that if I stick to that, then it would be Perry Castile because I haven't seen either of them. However, Hamilton Basha is that game too hard to pass up? So
yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. A couple more scores. St. David out of the 1A conference, 50-6 over Fort Thomas. No other scores have been uploaded. Cool. Love that. All right. Perfect. That's it. I love when they make our jobs easy, Eric.
Yep.
All right. Question time. Are you ready? I came up with some good ones.
Let's do it.
Okay. What would you change if you could go back to high school? And do it all over again. What would you change about yourself or actions you took or whatever? In high school specifically.
Yeah. I mean, I might have taken the recruiting process for sports a little bit more seriously.
Right.
You know, I don't think I was good enough to play, you know, high level college tennis or anything, but you know, maybe there could have been one where I could get a different type of scholarship or something like that. But honestly, you know, thinking about it, I had a pretty good time. I did okay. You know, it'd be easy to say, get a little bit better grades, you know, study a little bit harder, stuff like that. But I mean, maybe that tennis thing is probably the only thing I can really think of. I did.
Fair enough.
How about you?
Same thing, kind of not the college recruitment thing because I knew I was never going to play in college. I think I would have just taken the weights program and just football in general a little bit more seriously.
Sure.
I mean, I love playing. I loved it. I loved playing. I loved all that. I loved being a part of it. I did obviously take it seriously, but I would have taken it to the next level, serious, in terms of training and eating right and all that kind of stuff. But I think beyond that, I think I would have ran track. I never ran track in high school. I think I would have ran track. And actually, back when I played, track really wasn't a huge thing for football players like it is now.
Yeah. So,
but if I could go back knowing what I do know now, I would run track 100% because it helps with speed. Obviously, if you do shot put or whatever, it helps with strength. Like, I would run track in a heartbeat if I could go
back. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So,
but like, I don't have any giant regrets or anything like that.
No, me neither. I really don't.
Turned out okay.
Yeah, exactly. How has social media ruined sports or made it better?
It has ruined it.
How so?
Because people have these insane opinions on things and you're fair able enough to see them. Can you imagine, yep, like the when Michael Jordan was in his prime, if there had been social media back then, how many stupid tweets there would have been? True. Like, you know, when he was trying to catch Magic with five and then eventually six rings, like, oh, he'll never do it. He's not as good as Magic. He's not as good as Hakeem. He's not blah. Like, it's just so stupid. And
that's a good point.
And this isn't just social media, but it's the debate culture and things like that. I just don't understand it.
Yeah.
It has also made it great because you can get the news of stuff really quickly. Like, you know, exactly, as soon as somebody is traded, you yep know what's going on immediately. Like, you know, we can keep up at least a little bit with almost every single high school football game that's happening around the state. And you couldn't do that without social media. So it's got its perks and its cons. Yeah.
I 100% agree with you in terms of how it ruined it and made it better, obviously, the social, getting real-time news, all that stuff. I also think just seeing the reactions in real time have been really fun. It has made sports really fun, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, ruined it for sure. I think, like you said, everyone has an opinion. Everyone likes to argue about stuff. I think beyond that, I think it's ruined it because, you know, how many times have we seen athletes like be outed or exposed or have pictures posted of them? Like, I think it's ruined it in that aspect too, because people are just out there trying to ruin people's lives in some way.
Nobody would have seen Ja Morant waving a piece around if it weren't for social media.
See, it's funny you mentioned that because I was thinking Laramie Tunsil in the gas.
Yeah, map. That's true too. Yeah.
So, I'm really glad that our minds kind of think alike and going to just horrible.
Yeah.
That's okay. Cool. We'll move on. Okay. This one's a challenge. Okay. Because I actually don't exactly remember what mine was, but I know for sure one that like I probably had on there. Okay.
Okay.
What was your favorite song to put on your profile on MySpace? And before you answer, I just want to say this. What's really funny is we have 302 people watching right now. And if any of those 302 people were born after the year 2002, I would be willing to bet money they have no idea what MySpace is.
You know what's funny is I know exactly what it is, but I never had one.
Really?
Yeah, I never had a MySpace. Okay. I didn't get social media. I got a Facebook when I started high school.
Gotcha.
And even then, I didn't use it that much. But okay,
theoretically, if you had one, what would be your song? Yeah,
it probably would have been In the End by Linkin Park, because that was such a early 2000s, like,
it was. That's
young guy song.
Yeah. All right. I think mine would have been. That's a good one. That's a really good one. Mine probably would have been. You know what's honestly really funny is it probably would have been like Soul Survivor by Jeezy and Akon.
That's a good one.
That to this day is one of my favorite songs.
If you're looking at me on the block, my thing. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I didn't say it. I just said thing.
No, I know, but I'm just saying ooh, because like the voice.
Oh, yeah. I'm not a good singer.
Was that your Akon impression?
Can you sing like Akon?
No, that's why I don't try.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's a really good song, though. I love that song. I used to know every word to it. I think I might still know. I feel like if I listened to it,
it's one of those probably where if you started listening to it, you would
probably come back to me. Yeah. You know what was also really good one? I don't remember if it was like, because I had a MySpace when I was in like, goodness, it had to be like junior high, maybe. Maybe. When was MySpace popular? What year was that? Hang on. I'm going to.
Like early 2000s, like. 2003, 2004 probably.
When was MySpace popular? 2005, 2008. So I was. So I entered my freshman year of high school in 2008. So it would have been junior high years. So I don't remember if it was around the same time. But do you remember Mano, the artist Mano?
Yeah.
He had that song All the Above with T-Pain.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good song. I like that one. That might have been on there too. And there would have been a lot of other ones. Like, I was always a hip hop fan, so like that was kind of the music I just listened to and stuff. So that it was probably something like that, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, that would make sense.
Yeah. I remember the first time I heard Shoulder Lean.
Yeah.
That was a great song. Obviously, like the Tupac Biggie stuff like that. But
yeah.
What else? I was a huge T.I. fan. I love T.I.
That's about the time T.I. was huge,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, with that album. I can't remember what the album name is, but he had a couple songs with Rihanna.
Mm.
Live Your Life was one of them. What was the other one? It'd probably take me 2 seconds to find it. Either way, yes, T.I. I was huge on. I love T.I. Obviously, Chris Brown was huge back then. He still is kind of big. His tour has been very popular. I've seen like videos, and I actually even asked Carter, I'm like, do you want to go to Chris Brown? It was like on like a Monday night, though. It was really weird timing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it would probably have been one of those songs for sure.
Yeah.
In the End by Linkin Park is funny.
I mean, it's just such a classic
song. Yeah.
What's
the other Linkin Park song that like?
Numb.
I don't think it's Numb. There is one I've been seeing a lot of videos lately where they like make jokes. They're like, when the main character is dead in an action movie, but then they're not actually dead. And it's like it's like panning over the body or whatever. And then like they move like a foot or something like that. And then it like cuts to like a Linkin Park song. And it's like directed by whoever, like the guy who does all like the action movies, like intense.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea.
I wonder if I can. I guarantee I won't be able to find it, but like an actual video, but action movie meme. Let me see.
I mean, Linkin Park had some.
Oh, it's What I've Done.
Yeah, that's a good
What one. I've Done meme. Yeah, hang on.
Linkin Park had, you know, they did the song with Jay-Z. They did a Busta Rhymes song.
Yeah, they did. That's right.
I mean,
who was it? Was it the Gorillaz that did a song with a rapper too?
That sounds right.
Or maybe the Gorillaz just one of their songs just kind of sounded like rap. I don't know what it was.
Could be.
But yeah, no. This, so you know how like in some action movies when you know there's gonna be a sequel, like the main character or the villain is like dead, but then like. They start panning over and you see like twitch or something like that.
Yeah, that's what this whole out of the air.
Yeah, like that's what this whole like meme thing is on videos. I saw one of them where it like obviously was like just some random dude like making the video or whatever. He like panned over his friend in the way that like it ended with like in the end, the song. And it said like directed by whoever like the guy is that makes a lot of action movies.
Yeah.
But like the twitch movement thing was like the guy like lifting up his butt to like act like he was like farting or whatever.
That's hilarious.
So stupid. Just the stupidest. This is why I hate social media sometimes. It's just so dumb. But I also get a laugh out of it. So it's like whatever. But yeah, some of those videos, some people are just creative. I don't know how people come up with some of the stuff they do.
Yeah, it's that's the thing is the internet can be the absolute funniest thing when something big happens in the news. Like,
yeah, true.
Social media is so funny.
Yeah, it is really funny. It's a good time. What's also a good time is us talking about the best things we ate in the last week. I'm going to open this up to 2 weeks because we haven't been at a show.
I recently made myself a burrito bowl that was very good.
Ooh. What was in it?
I had, what kind of meat was it? I had some ground beef.
Are you ground beef or ground turkey fan?
I like both.
Okay. I typically lean more to ground turkey lately. I don't know why.
Yeah. Ground beef is just, it's not something I can eat all the time because it gets pretty greasy, but I like
true.
It.
True.
But then it had some peppers and onion and, you know, a few other veggies and some really good salsa, and it was delicious.
I'm going to go with... fish tacos. I know you guys gave me a ton of crap for this in the group.
Did not give you crap.
No, you did. You did. Because in our group chat, we will take pictures of food and we will send in ratings. And
I didn't give you crap about the food. I gave you crap about the way you described it.
Okay. I'll set the stage. Corn tortillas warmed up very well. Right. My wife did a great job. Yeah. Not really that hard to do. Let's be honest. I grilled the tilapia on the Blackstone outside. Just a few minutes each side. It's all I needed, right? A little bit of Cajun seasoning, salt, pepper. And tilapia is one of those fishes that's like, I like that it doesn't really taste fishy. You know what I mean?
Does yeah,
that
make sense? I like tilapia.
Yeah. Some cabbage on there. We had some, obviously, cheese or whatever. But what really set it apart was this jalapeno cilantro crema that my wife makes. I could drink it. It's so good. It had a nice little kick. It tasted like, you know, the acidity from like the limes that she put in there and like a little bit of lemon juice. Oh my goodness, Eric, was it good. And I rated this thing a perfect 10 out of 10, the whole taco itself. And you guys gave me crap in it. And you specifically, because I said the crema was made to perfection by my wife. And you said,
no, you said by my wonderful wife, which she is wonderful. Yeah, but I said that it was funny that you were texting us, my wonderful wife. Well, unless she was looking at your phone, it was just a completely unnecessary detail. No,
that's what you said, though. You said, we all know she's looking over your shoulder while you're texting us right now. And she was not. I promise you she was not.
That's the thing, wonderful. The food looked fine. The food looked fine. It was just an unnecessary funny detail.
Why can't I say she's wonderful? I don't get it. What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Do you think your wife is wonderful?
She's fine.
Dude. What is poor Leah going to say if she sees that?
She has never watched a single thing I've done.
You know what's really funny is I texted Carter randomly when I was doing the and I've met your wife. You've met mine, obviously. So we both know they are wonderful. But like I texted Carter when I was filling in for Cody on the radio show. And I was like, are you listening? How am I doing? And she's like, I turned it on for 30 seconds and then I got bored.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Fair enough. I mean, and then I asked her again. I was like, why'd you get bored? And she's like, well, it's like, you know, you and the guy, like you guys were doing great, but like, I don't know what Camp Verde High School is. And she was talking about Brian Berger.
That's funny.
She's like, I don't know where Camp Verde is. I don't know. So I just turned it off. I was like, okay, cool. Like he's doing a good job and turned it off.
Yeah. So, if it sounds nice, that's good.
Yeah. Thanks, honey, for supporting me for 30 seconds.
Yeah, I don't think that my spouse reads a whole lot of my things or watches any of them.
No.
Or anything like that.
No.
Which is okay.
I actually had
this conversation with Chris Ball, the old NAU football coach.
Yeah.
He was telling me, he was just asking me one day at a practice a couple of years ago about, you know, are you married? Blah, blah, blah. And I tell him, he goes, you never brought your wife around here. I'm like, there's no way she would show up to a football practice.
Yeah, no. No. It's actually not funny
against them, but
right. It's actually really funny that you mentioned that because even the other day we were talking about it and I was watching NFL and she said something like, can we watch something else or can I change it? And I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, you know, Sundays are for football. Like we have the Sunday ticket package. Why would we watch anything else?
Yeah.
And she was like, you know that I don't care about NFL. Because she really doesn't. She's a college football fan. She really doesn't care about the NFL. And she's like, I will watch the Lions for you. And that is it. That's my cutoff. I was like, there. We went to dinner tonight and the Tigers were on and they were tied at the time too with the Guardians. And I look and I was like, oh, look, the Tigers, like they're, you know, if they win tonight, they're going to the ALCS. And she kind of just gave me a blank stare. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're a Tigers fan too.
Yeah.
And she just shrugged her shoulders and then went back to whatever she was
doing. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's funny. So anyway.
Detroit's doing pretty well in sports right now.
They are. They, Lions, obviously. Yeah.
The Lions are good and the Tigers are good. The Pistons are pretty bad.
The Red Wings are eh.
The Red Wings are okay.
Yeah. Michigan football kind of sucks, although I'm not really a fan of Michigan football, so I don't really care. Michigan State sucks. Don't really care either. Notre Dame, I do care about, kind of still sucks. They suck until they redeem themselves with like a huge win over a team.
They've got to beat someone big.
Like the Northern Illinois thing just disgusts me.
Yeah, it's not great.
Like, how do you like? And here's the thing with Notre Dame, and I know we're getting way off topic here, but like, you beat Texas A&M in Texas, obviously in College Station. You rise up to like number what, 5 in the nation?
Yeah.
And then you lose to Northern Illinois.
That's crazy.
And then you come back and you beat a ranked Louisville team and you demolish Purdue. And then you struggle against Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's like, what is it with what those both the teams are in the MAC, right? What is it with the MAC that you just can't seem to play football right?
That is funny.
Does MACtion scare you? I'm confused. Like, Is MACtion scary? Like, MACtion can be frightening, but like, seriously though, you win by 10 on the road at Texas A&M. You lose by 2 to Northern Illinois. You literally demolish Purdue, basically send them to be an FCS program by beating them 66-7. And then you're only beating Miami of Ohio like 10-3 going into the fourth quarter. And then you finally win 28-3. So it looks kind of better. But like, we all saw the first half of the game.
Yeah.
You were terrible. And I love Notre Dame, but God, man.
It doesn't make a lot of sense.
And then you beat Louisville. Like, not like easily, but like, I don't expect you to beat good teams easily.
Yeah, and Louisville's
watch, we're
good.
Playing. Watch, we got Stanford. They'll probably beat Stanford by like 50. They'll come back and they'll probably beat Georgia Tech by like a point. They'll probably beat Navy by 2 touchdowns, and then they're probably gonna lose to Florida State. Like they're gonna make DJ Uiagalelei look good again. Like
yeah.
Then they'll probably beat Virginia. They'll beat Army. Army's doing pretty good, actually. That might be a scary game.
Army's undefeated.
Yeah, and then they'll probably lose to USC. They'll let someone named Miller Moss dot them up or something. Actually, they won't because Ben Morrison is in the secondary, so never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got respect for Ben. I like Ben a lot. He's a good kid. Good player. Future first-round pick.
Yeah, probably.
I would say it's... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say locked in, but you know what I mean. Anyway, appreciate everybody for tuning in. Thank you, Nautical Bulls and Mobile IV. I'm sorry, Next Level Mobile IV, for supporting and sponsoring the show. Obviously, Rickster, appreciate you for helping bring us together and do all this fun stuff. By the way, Eric, I got jealous of Adam's really cool show logo, so we're going to get a new logo. Oh, you think I'm
just got this
I'm not
one.
Kidding.
I know, I believe you. We just got this one, though.
Yeah, this one was like the launch logo.
Fair enough.
Now we gotta, you know, give it some, I don't even know what the word I'm looking for is. We gotta spice it up a little bit. Give it some pizzazz. Jazz. Some pizzazz. Thank you. Yes, that's a good word to use. Thank you to all of you for tuning in. 337 of you, almost pretty much half and half my account and Hypermark's account. So we appreciate all of you guys. Don't know where exactly I'm going to be at tomorrow. Eric is going to be at Coco. I know Saliga is going to be at ASU for us. I think Adam Beadle is going to be at ASU as well with him. Could be wrong on that, so don't quote me. I do have a game story from Mason for flag football coming probably on the site tonight and then or tomorrow morning, depending if I want to stay up or not. I really don't. Adam Beadle is also going to be writing a story about the Thunderbird and Yuma Catholic game. You'll see that tomorrow as well. So. A lot of good content coming up. I'll have my From the Couch segment, all that stuff. So stay tuned for all that. But again, in the meantime, we appreciate every single one of you. Couldn't do it without you. Couldn't do it without all of our media friends who help with the poll. Eric, obviously, you're included in that. And until next week, I don't think we're going to skip a week again, are we? Probably not.
I don't think so.
Unless things happen. I mean, things can happen, right? So either
life happens.
Life does happen. Have a great night, everybody. If you're still on fall break, be safe. Enjoy the time off. Stay tuned. Twitter. It's basically the main source for all the news for high school football in Arizona. Both Eric and I will be tweeting from the games we are at. Hypo Mark will be at another game. Obviously, follow for ASU coverage, things like that. Big one against Utah. So, in other words, stay tuned for all of Hypo Mark stuff, and we will keep you informed. Have a great night, everybody.